morning. Please stand as you are able. Jesus of the temptations, you enter the wilderness of our hungers, our lust for power, our eagerness to test God. Jesus of hopes, you set aside your glory, choosing to cradle us in your scarred hands.
Hold us in your tender embrace, we pray.
Jesus of the feast, you are broken so we might be healed. You pour out yourself so we might be drenched in your grace. Our opening hymn is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, number 275, in Glory to God.
Martin Luther wrote this hymn based on Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And this was his favorite hymn to sing then, whenever he was encountering difficulties or dangers.
We are easily seduced by the temptations all around us, but if we are willing to trust God and offer our confessions, God is quick to forgive us and fill us with hope. Join me as we pray together and in silence. Led by the crafter of lies, Lord God, we wander into the wasteland of wrongdoing. We hunger for more and more and feel emptier and emptier. We seek power, especially over others, only to do harm. By our choices, we worship the false gods of success, wealth, and spectacle. Have mercy on us, God of love, and forgive us for the power we give to temptation in our lives. Help us to become as vulnerable as Jesus, for in that vulnerability, we find the humility to trust you in all things. In that trust, we discover the grace which sets us free from the grasp of the shrewd one. In that freedom, we can leave our bad lands behind in order to follow Jesus in his life and into the next. Be glad and rejoice. Give thanks with shouts of joy. Grace abounds for everyone.
With Christ's deliverance, we offer our thanks to God who loves us and forgives us. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination as we step into the narrative of Christ's life and ministry. Allow in our hearts to experience your message as if for the first time. May we receive it with trust that you are revealing more of your will for our lives. Amen. Our first reading today is Psalm 32. I'll be reading from the Living Bible translation. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Now I say that each believer should confess his sins to God when he is aware of them, while there is time to be forgiven. Judgment will not touch him if he does. You are my hiding place from every storm of life. You even keep me from getting into trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but abiding love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in him, all those who are his, and shout for joy, all those who try to obey him.
Today we're singing Teach Us to Pray, and it is telling us how Jesus taught his friends to pray.
Good morning. This is Inside the Linton Studio, and I'm your host, Janice Lipton. Over the next 5 weeks of Lent, we will be exploring the life of Jesus of Nazareth from the viewpoint of people who knew him during his ministry. We will begin the series today where all stories should begin, at the start of his 3 years of teaching and preaching. And what better place than in the wilderness where Jesus contemplated the task ahead of him? With us today is the one person who can tell us exactly what transpired there. Because he was present during that period of loneliness and meditation. The Prince of Darkness himself. Prince, it's good to have you with us.
Okay. So, this is going to be about that Jewish carpenter, is it? I thought you wanted to discuss one of my successes, like Dr. Faustus. Oh, that was fun.
Well, Prince, you can't win them all. Will you tell us in your own words about your encounter with Jesus?
Well, it was the usual modus operandi. I approached him during his most vulnerable period, sort of like with Eve and that apple. I snuck up behind him when he wasn't looking and whispered in his ear, my first temptation. If you're so high and mighty, God's son, as you claim to be, then command these stones to be turned into bread. Oh, it would have been a simple trick for any magician. Penn and Teller even taught me a new variation of that one the last time I was in Vegas.
Did your ploy work?
No. Worse luck. Jesus looked up with a thoughtful expression on his face. For a moment there, I thought I'd had him. But then he spoke as if quoting, "The scripture says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks." Oh, I had to admit that was clever. And I've never eaten bread since.
And you skulked away?
No. I'm not a quitter. I was prepared for the second test. And if he could quote scripture, then so could I. I whisked him off, away to Jerusalem, and we stood on the pinnacle of the temple. And I said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down. For the scripture says God will give orders to his angels about you, so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones."
You little devil.
Yes? Oh.
And you were clever enough to get him this time, weren't you?
Ah. From your lips to... Oh, well, never mind. So, Jesus had a snappy response for that one, too. He quoted right back, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." But I still had one more trick up my sleeve. I took him to a very high mountain and I showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And in my very best Boris Karloff impression, I intoned, "All this I will give to you if you kneel down and worship me."
I must admit, that sounds awfully tempting. What did Jesus say to that?
He had the audacity to tell me, to go away. Turns out the scripture had an answer to that one, too. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.
I'll bet you got him on the next go-round, though, didn't you?
Are you kidding? I may be omnipotent and powerful in my own way, but even I know when I'm licked. I'd had enough, and I left Jesus alone. I did turn back for one last look and saw that he was surrounded by a host of angels attending to his every need. Even I can't compete with that. Well, I must be off. I'm rereading Dante's Inferno for inspiration.
Boys and girls, if you'd like to come up.
Thank you, Helen.
Well, you just heard about how Jesus was tempted by the devil, didn't you? And the first temptation was for Jesus to take care of himself first, to turn some stones into bread. And he was really, really, very hungry. Now, that would be very tempting, wouldn't it? If you hadn't eaten for 40 days and somebody said, you could change these stones into bread, it would be hard not to do that, wouldn't it? Well, but what Jesus later did when he said no, he wasn't going to do that. But what he later did was he showed us how we can then use our power of faith to feed others. Because that's what Jesus did. He fed 5,000 on a hillside. He changed water to wine. He did a lot of things that fed other people. Yes, Savannah. Right, that's the feeding of the 5,000, absolutely. So when he was able to use his power to feed, he fed others. Well, you know what? We also have that power in us. And you may have heard Mrs. Peterson earlier talk about these fish. These fish also can feed people through the one great hour of sharing. And they are banks, and here's one put together, and these are ones that you could color to make them your own, or you can take them already with all the colors of the rainbow on them. But what I'd like you to do is, in the spirit of Jesus, is to take one of these home, and it has a place for you to put a couple of coins in every day, and then on Easter Sunday, 6 weeks from now, I'd like you to bring it back so that then you can use your power of faith to feed others. How does that sound? Okay. So, does anybody want one that already has colors on it? Well, Isaac, reach into the basket and get one of those. And Sophia, do you want one that already has colors? Okay. And while we're passing out, if you would take one and Lita, these are for you during worship, and we need one for Gigi. There we go. All right. Whoop. Okay. And Isaac, would you pass that back behind you to Lucy. Miss Liz, I'm in deep doo-doo.
You don't have
enough? No. Okay, I'm going to give them to the younger ones first, and then
I can do
you. Okay. All right. So, okay. But I probably need 3 if we have them. What a wonderful problem. We love not having enough. So that's a good thing. And Mrs. Bushma is back there going to get some more. So would you like to take one of these? That Mrs. Okay, I know we got plenty of these. Okay, well, why don't we let Aiden pass them out since you got to pass out other stuff. Okay, that way we share the jobs. Well, I think we're okay right now. Maybe the two of you can share. Well, Allison, do you want one? Grace, do you want one? Yeah. Okay. And I got some extras here. I got more. You hold on to that one, Aiden. Okay, everybody got one? Aiden, come back, and I got one for you. All right. There we go. Now you all can, you're all set. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have given us the power to help others. And so we ask that we bless and dedicate these fish through the next weeks that they might feed others. Savannah, we're praying. That they might help others, and thus in that way we can show your love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Okay, guys. Yes, you may sit with your families. You're done now. Well, folks are getting resettled. Just a note that what you experienced this morning, you will be experiencing throughout Lent as different people that Jesus encountered in his ministry are interviewed so that you might hear the scripture from their perspective. So I want to thank Tom Hinks, who has scripted all of those, taken scripture and turned it into script for us. So we can be grateful that he's willing to share his God-given gift for that. Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days without food. 40 days without people. And now even for introverts, that's a long time. 40 days just wandering around the desert, wondering when this would end and what was next for him. Most of us are familiar with Jesus' encounter with the Prince of Darkness, as he related it to us today. In this time, Jesus is offered the opportunity to turn stones into bread, to have God save him from a deadly fall, and to take over the kingdoms of this world. And as we know, in each case he resists, citing scripture to strengthen his position. Often, when faced with temptation, there is some kind of reward. We resist smoking and we become healthier. We resist gossiping or engaging in judgment, and we feel our hearts open and the freedom of loving the way God loves. We take the job that is meaningful to us, even if it's not as well paying, and know the satisfaction that comes from fulfilling a vocation and not just moving up a professional ladder. Almost every life decision we make holds a tempting choice, from the kind of car we buy or the size of our house to the kinds of people we have in our circle of friends. And for many of those choices, there are rewards for the faithful choice. That's the thing with Jesus, though, in this time in the wilderness. He resisted feeding himself and went away still starving. He resisted having angels save him, and yet he was still alone in the desert. He refused the road to power and authority, and instead was put on a path to the cross. Until his time was ended in the wilderness, when the angels did attend to him, he was still hungry, alone, and wandering. No reward. The choices Jesus made were very difficult ones. Later, he would perform, as I told the children, a miracle involving bread. But it would be to feed 5,000 others. He would use the power to rescue and heal, but it would be for lepers and widows and the blind. He would choose a path to glory, but it went first to a cross and a tomb, so that all might share in the glory of his kingdom. When he chose to exercise his divine power, it was always for others, not for himself. It can be hard to follow Jesus into this wilderness, for what he was offered by the Prince of Darkness was an easier way to his destination, one without suffering or hunger, one with great power. He was offered a shortcut, one that didn't mean pain and death. He was shown what today we would call the prosperity gospel, one that had instant gratification in exchange for loyalty. He would choose the knee-jerk reactions and leave the rest of the world behind. And each time he rejected that quick and easy path for a more difficult, longer road, a journey that would be frustrating at times, with setbacks and misunderstandings. And in the end, he ends up with a small group of fearful disciples who, when he leaves them, have no idea what to do next. That is what he chose, because that is what God chose for him. And he made these decisions in the worst possible conditions. He was starving, he was alone, and he was tired. And we all know not to make important decisions when we are this way. Never make big decisions in the first year of grief or when you are exhausted, for your perspective is skewed and your equilibrium is off and the ability to make wise choices is diminished. Shoot, I know I shouldn't even go to the grocery store if I'm hungry. Lord knows what I'll buy. And yet, when Jesus was at his most vulnerable, he was given a way out, an easy way out. And he chose not to take it. And while angels did attend to him as companions, those who would help strengthen him again, this would not be his last temptation at all. The Prince of Darkness certainly was not done with him. All along the way of his ministry, he would be tempted. He would be tempted when the Pharisees' attacks were relentless. How he might have longed to have had power over them. When the disciples were just not understanding the teachings and miracles, when they wanted to sit at his right and left hand, how he must have wanted just to jump off the cliff and be rescued from all of this. When people were clamoring for healing and miracles, dogging him wherever he went, when he could not have a moment for himself, how he must have dreamed of a quiet meal of bread and wine, alone. No, all along the way in his ministry, those wilderness temptations nipped at his heels, reminding him that he could always go a different path, not just during those 40 days. He had to resist those choices throughout his entire ministry. And each time he did resist the shortcut, the easy way out, the answer that served him best, he became stronger. His life and ministry remind us that this life of faith is not about getting a straight shot to heaven. Though, don't get me wrong, grace does abound. Nor is it about easy answers, though the great commandments are simple enough. No, the life of faith is about a rough road, where others don't always understand or appreciate our path. It's about working hard to love and forgive when it would be so much easier to hold hate and anger. It is about putting aside our needs, the needs of me and mine, and putting ahead of that the needs of the world. when just taking care of my own, those I already know and love, would be so much more filling for us and certainly easier. Jesus reminds us that no matter where we are in our life, no matter our circumstances, where we find ourselves or those who surround us, there will always be the temptation to make it easier, to make it shorter, rather than to do the hard thing. And that sometimes we will be doing it when we are so tired, when we are feeling so alone, and when we are hungering for just one thing in our life to give us a break. Jesus knows that. God knows that. And Jesus gives us something to hold on to. He does that in the wilderness. He gives us scripture, the reminder that God's word tells us we're not alone in this. There is rest for the weary and heavy laden. There is food and drink that sustains in ways the world cannot provide. God does attend to us as we walk that rough road of faithfulness. Jesus walks it with us. We walk it with each other. We are provided what we need to resist the temptations that are set before us all the time. We begin this journey in Lent reminded that temptation is a part of life, from our beginning to our end. And at times it will feel like we're wandering in the wilderness rather than going down a straight path. But God will not leave us or give up on us. We will be given what we need to have strength to resist the choices that do not lead us closer to God or that strengthen our faith. Not just once or twice, but every single time. All we need to do is turn to God, to repent, and we will find the strength we need. And the Prince of Darkness will be going back to find someone else to deal with. Here is one place where we will find it. The strength, the hope, the unity at the table of our Lord. And once again, he feeds us, not himself. Amen. Our hymn, if you stand as you're comfortable, is When We Are Tested, number 783, In Glory to God. And this is another one of those infamous hymns that the pastor chose for the words, but again, our music director has assured me that it's singable.
Thank you.
As we come together to pray, I will share with you some concerns and joys that have been shared with me, and then I will open us with prayer and leave a time for you to silently or aloud lift your prayers to God, and then I will close us and we will end together with the Lord's Prayer. We begin with a word of thanks from Karen Beaton, who had her back procedure this week. It all went well. And she wants to thank you all for the food and the cards and the prayers as she heals. We also have the joy that Verona is back with us following her surgery as she continues to heal. So we rejoice in that. We offer prayers for Lee Manuel, who fell after church last Sunday. Not here, but later that day. And did some real damage to her upper arm. And is still in a good deal of pain. So we want to pray for her healing. And then I was asked by the Crowleys to ask for prayers for Dudley Weber, who some of you may know because he worked at Storehouse West for many years there, and has, or his wife did, I'm sorry, and has friends. But he's having open-heart surgery on Wednesday. Let us be in a spirit of prayer. It is those signs of healing, God of mercy and strength, that remind us that you intend wholeness for us. And so we give thanks to you for Verona's healing and for Karen's relief from pain. And we pray that they will continue to heal and grow strong. And it is what gives us confidence then to entrust Lee to you and Dudley to you, surrounding them with your sense of peace and your healing. And may you also reveal ways to us that we might be the living and loving presence of your Son to them. God, we are part of a world that is both beautiful and broken. And we pray, O God, first with thanks and praise for the beauty of this world, not only in its creation, but in its people. Those things we see that are certainly glimpses of the day your reign will be in fullness. Acts of kindness and love and grace. We also, though, know that there is brokenness, where hearts are hardened by hate or fear or misunderstanding or evil. And, O God, we ask that we might be your presence in the world that brings reconciliation, that brings hope to those who have given up, that walks alongside those who feel they are all alone in the world, those who cannot see the road ahead as having anything but trouble. Help us, O God, to be your witness that you are present and at work in the world. And in that spirit, we lift our prayers to you. Hear all our prayers, O God. Gather them up to yourself and open our hearts and minds to receive your response, that we might indeed be ready to answer, to respond, here I am, and yes, I will go wherever you send me. And now we join our hearts and our faith and our voices, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In Christ, we see humanity's strength and God's glory made manifest, the harmony of creation restored. We offer these gifts as we commit ourselves to restoring balance and beauty to a world gone haywire with temptation and deceit.
Gift of bread in mercy broken, for the cup in mercy poured, for the words of life so gently spoken, we give thanks to you, O Lord. Come, O people that hunger, gather round this sacred board. Come, O people that are thirsty, welcome to the feast of the Lord. For the pinch of salt put on the tree, praise you now with one accord. For the blessing on Easter morning, we give thanks to you, O Lord. Come, O people that hunger, gather round this sacred board. Come, O people that are thirsty, welcome to the feast of the Lord.
Amen.
Join me in the prayer of dedication. Faithful God, let these gifts be like food and drink, the wilderness for those who have suffered and longed for your presence. May these offerings strengthen those who are resisting temptation and lead us to attend to all who need your healing touch. This we pray in the name of Jesus, our example and Savior.
Amen.
You may be seated.
This table is open to all who confess Jesus as the Christ and seek to know Christ's way. Come to this sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Come to this table, then, sisters and brothers, as you are. Partake and share. It is spread for you and me that we again might know that God has come to us, shared our common lot, and invited to join the people of God's new creation. Let us pray. May the God of discipleship be with you.
And also with you.
Let us begin our Lenten journey with open hearts.
We offer to the one who walks with us.
Let our voices resound with thanksgiving to the one who shows us faithful care.
We rejoice in our God, hope, and
you held nothing back, Gardener of Grace, as the Spirit led creation into the hinterlands of nothingness, spreading rich soil in the valleys, planting seedlings and flower bulbs, making mountains from river clay, sprinkling water over everything. Morning came in Eden's beauty, all that wonder and goodness given for your children. But we listen to evil's whispers, believing those lies so easily told. Like a crew launching in boat to rescue those who are adrift, prophets came to us, counseling us to let go of our stubbornness and return to your side. But with our eyes wide open, we followed that path which took us away from the middle of the garden. So you sent Jesus to us, that free gift of grace for all. You alone are holy, hope of our lives, and Jesus Christ is your blessed righteousness. When we got what we wanted in knowing both good and evil, he came so we might receive what we need most, your grace. When we left the garden to enter the deserts of temptation, he came to show us the path back to your heart. When we had given control of our lives to sin and death, he came to break their hold on us as he was resurrected from the grave. You hold nothing back from us as the Spirit comes to rest on the gifts of the bread and the cup so that those gathered might be fed. Like your heart, the bread is broken so that we might be made whole and by our healing go forth to bring hope to those around us. And like your child, the cup is poured out so that we might be filled with your grace and go out into the world to empty ourselves for others. And when our journeys in and out of the wilderness of the world are ended, you will gather us around the great feast of the Lamb, where we will sing glad songs of joy to you, God in community, holy and one. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me." Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord, until he comes again in glory, the gifts of God for the people of God.
This hymn is based on the meal at Emmaus, shared by the risen Christ and the two companions on the road from Luke. It was very good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
go from here, fed, nourished, strengthened, for we do not know what the temptations for the easy way or the shortcut will be this week. But we know that with one another and with God, we too can resist them. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with each of you now and forever. Amen.